Grace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. As we've kind of walked through Advent, we see the first, by the way, we don't hang banners just to take up brick space. We have a reason why we actually hang them. We actually have a reason why we put different colors on the altar and why we even do different colored candles. It's not to break up the monotony. Many of you will see it says watch. That was 2 weeks ago. And then prepare. And then the third week is rejoice. And if you notice that today we have two blue candles lit, and we have a third candle, which is, if you were on a Sunday, it would be called Gaudete from the Latin, which is to rejoice. And we rejoice of the coming because we're watching and we're preparing and we're introspective. And today we rejoice. We do rejoice because our King is coming. He is coming for you. He's coming for me. Not only the first time, but the second. The second will be even more glorious because he will take his beloved bride, the church, home. I don't know if you notice, I usually would preach on verses 19 to 28. But I was struck this week as I was preparing is that light, just light. I don't know about you. I really do like Christmas. I don't, honestly, I hate it when people like my mom, my dad, my wife, or my kids say, so what do you want for Christmas? And I got to be honest with you. I mean this sincerely. I don't need anything. Is there? It's okay if you don't want to raise your hand. Is there anybody here, especially if you're over the age of like, 25, you go, I don't need anything. I mean, is there anybody else out there that, like, I don't need a doggone thing? Okay, I was afraid that nobody was going to raise their hand. Okay, yeah, I don't need anything. And as a matter of fact, even though most of my wants, I have. And you might say, well, what would you want, Pastor Doug? Well, there's nothing you can do. I'd like to be taller, but nobody here can do that. I don't know if you can carve this middle section and get me some, you know, a six-pack because I'm working on a keg apparently. And you know, I would really like to have those things, but there's nothing I can do about those things. But one thing I love about Christmas is, I don't know if your family has this tradition. I love going around, driving around, kids in the back seat, and you drive through neighborhoods and you look at the different light shows and you just see and you're like, oh my goodness. Me, I do two things. One, I go, wow. But many of you now know me that I'm kind of a penny pincher when it comes to budgets. The second thought in my head is, oh my gosh, their light bill's got to be insane. And I want to say, I love seeing what the creativity. My wife was watching a show the other day, and I was kind of half watching it, and they were trying to say, which are the best displays, the most magnificent displays? Did anyone else see that? And it was like, oh, some of you saw it. And the one guy goes, I've got 4 million lights. I'm like, oh my goodness, 4 million lights. We all love light. When we think of Christmas, we think of light too, don't we? The light of God, the light of Christ coming into the world. In fact, my wife has been frustrated with me for the last few years because, I don't know about you, do you ever struggle with your tree? You have the lights on it. And it works fine. You're gentle with them. You put them away. And you put it back exactly in the same spot. Nothing happened. You plug it back in the next year, and the lights don't work. And so my wife says, can we get new lights? And I'm looking at the budget, and I'm like, no. So I surprised her this year, and now our tree has lights. And you might go, you cheap guy, you. It's like $3. That's true. And I just want to share with you that sometimes we get misunderstandings. Nashville grandfather one time a number of years ago took his 4-year-old grandson, whom he loved, out into the woods so they could chop down their own tree. They tramped all over the place, and they started probably at noon. And every time grandpa pointed at a tree, he goes, is it that one? He'd go, nope. It was starting to get dark, so he'd been out with him for 6.5 hours. And finally, the grandpa looks at him, and he was tired and cold, and he said, boy, the next tree is the tree we're taking. And the little boy, he just said it flatly to him. The little boy looked up in bewilderment and says, even if that one doesn't have lights on it too? And I'll tell you something. I don't know if you know where the tradition started, but it started with a guy by the name of Martin Luther, who 500 years ago started to put lights on the tree. And you might say, how would you do that? And some of you may not know this, but and you might go nowadays, you go, oh, dangerous. He put candles on the tree. And I know that's dangerous, but what a beautiful thing it was. And then in 1895, some guy came up with the first electric Christmas tree lights. Now all through December, we see these beautiful lights. I hope the lights don't make you just go, oh, how pretty. I hope in actuality, what occurs within your mind and within your heart is it points to Jesus Christ, who really is the light of the world. Isn't that wonderful to know that the light of the world would come for you and for me? You see, to be honest with you, light kind of shows darkness and dirtiness, right? I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I know this might be shocking to you, I would come in a little bit on the dirty side after playing outside all day. I know that's shocking to many of you. And I would come in, and my mother would like come into our walk-in area, and she would look at me, and the first thing she'd do, because it would be dark, and there's a light in the area, right? You know, the mud room area, okay? And she would flip on the light, and she goes, and she would sometimes go, Lord, have mercy. And she would take your, she would literally say, strip down to your underwear, young man, and march yourself upstairs. There was one time it was so bad, apparently, she made me go outside. It's December. And she pulled out the hose. I was that dirty. I didn't come home as dirty anymore after that. I think she was trying to teach me a lesson. She turned on the light and you could see the dirt. And I guess what I want to say to you is when Jesus Christ comes and when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we don't see these brightly shiny people who have brushed our teeth and flossed. And Dr. Wirt would want you to floss every day, just so you know. That's a commercial for him. And then we brush our teeth and we gargle and we do all those things and we put on clean clothes. But if we would look in our mirrors, and instead of being a physical mirror, it would be a spiritual mirror. What would you see? I don't know about you, but I do know about me. I would see a whole bunch of sins all over me, and no amount of water that I could pull from the faucet could wipe it away. You see, the light would show that I'm sinful. The light would reveal my great need of somebody better than myself, somebody bigger than myself, somebody more powerful than myself to take away that sin. Now, do you remember there was a play written many years ago, and it was, and I can't remember why all of a sudden I'm having a hard time remembering his name. Sorry. As soon as I say it, you'll go, oh my gosh, you couldn't believe it. Well, you stand up here and talk for 20 minutes and try to remember everything. Shakespeare. And do you remember the woman murdered somebody, and she's like, she had the and she goes out, damn spot, right, remember? And she would go, and she couldn't get she kept seeing it. And out, sin, out. And we can't get it out. And the light, all it does is it reveals our amazing need. Love came down at Christmas. And I will tell you that it's amazing how John does this. He says, I'm not the light. And he said he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came as a witness to the light. What an amazing thing that is. Light that the angels, the sky lit up when the angels sang that first Christmas night. The star in the east, over the two-year period after Jesus was born, led the wise men to find baby Jesus, or young child Jesus. Light is a blessing in our lives. But Jesus was not born just to say, look how amazing I am. Jesus was born so that he might go to the cross. I find it completely and utterly appropriate and important to understand. Do you notice the creche right here? And what you'll notice is those of you who've been a member of Concordia, you'll see in the manger, Jesus is not there yet. We bring him out on Christmas Eve at the 4 o'clock service. It's a tradition for probably over a decade. We've been doing it now. And I will tell you that it is no accident that this is directly beneath the cross. I've seen wonderful shows where baby Jesus is being born. And for those who look for it, you can see as they pan away the last thing that there's a cross, a shadow of a cross, even on the creche as they fade to black at the end of the show. And for those with eyes to see, with the light that has been given to us, we see and we know the purpose of Jesus. He came to take your sin away. Yes, you're clean on the outside, but Christ came to make you clean on the inside. He started it in your baptism. He cleaned you up. And he made you his own. He adopted you as a son. He adopted you as a daughter. And he calls us to live a life worthy that he has prepared for us. I want you to hear a couple more things. And the first of which is, when you think about the Son, I don't mean the Son of God. When you think about the Son, S-U-N, we walk by day with the light of the sun shining about. There is no darkness. Have you ever been out at night and you literally didn't need a flashlight? You didn't need streetlights? Why? It was the moon shining, correct? And so I would ask you this, and I know you all know the answer to it. How much light does the moon possess in and of itself? Nothing. All it does is reflect what? The light of the sun, S-U-N. The moon would never claim that it is the light, but it came to point to the light. When you go out at night over the course of the next few weeks and you see that it's bright outside at night, remember that all the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. And that is exactly what John was doing, reflecting the light which was to come into the flesh for you and for me. Now, this would be great if we just stopped here, except I have just one more important thing to share with you. You see, you too are like the moon. You too point to the light of Christ. By your life, by your example, by your witness, that we point to Jesus Christ. I'd like you to think about the moon just a little bit longer with me. Have you ever been out at night when the moon provided almost no light, where it was really dark? Sometimes during the month, it provides a lot of light. Sometimes it's almost no light at all. I would say that that kind of reminds us of us. There are times that we reflect the light which has been given to us, which is Jesus Christ, and times that we choose to keep that light in ourselves and not reflect anything. I would encourage all of us, out of the joy of our salvation, that we would rejoice so much that we would be that full moon, that we would reflect the light of Christ, that our lives would be such an example that people would be drawn to Christ, drawn to this place where they could hear law, where they could hear gospel, where they could hear of Jesus who went to the cross. This pulpit has never been meant for one man. For there have been 8 senior pastors and 14 associate pastors, and there will be 8 more senior pastors and 14 more associate pastors. Pastors come and pastors go, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And as I read this one more time to you, I'd like you to think about it as it pertains to you. There came a person who was sent from God. Their name was, fill in your name. He or she came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through them all men might believe. They were not the light. They came only as a witness to the light. Isn't that great? That really is supposed to be who we are. May you reflect the light of Christ this Advent season. this Christmas season. And may people be drawn to Jesus by the example that you set and as you point them to his holy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.